The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Morning, Glory America. Bonjour. Hi, Canada. Hugh Hewitt in Florida. Day two at the Alliance Defending Freedom Conference. And I'll spend a lot of time talking about religious liberty, but there are really only two stories this morning. I know there are lots of silly stories. The Texas Democrats is just the silliest story in the world. It's embarrassing to Texans. It's embarrassing to them. They are shamefaced and they're being ridiculed as appropriate everywhere that's not named MSNBC. Really, it's just a charade. So that's not really a story. I know the reconciliation bill is unveiled, and I know that people are working on infrastructure. That's not really a story. There are two stories, Cuba and Iran. Let me take the second one first. In the Washington Post this morning, Rachel Panette reports that Iranian intelligence agents plotted to abduct an Iranian-American journalist living in Brooklyn and spirit her away to Iran, possibly via a daring maritime evacuation, the Justice Department alleged in an indictment unsealed yesterday. Four Iranians were charged in federal court in Manhattan with conspiring to kidnap the exiled journalist and women rights activist Masih Alanejad, who has long been critical of the regime in Tehran. Alanejad was not identified by prosecutors, but she confirmed on Twitter that she was the intended target. I do not know how any single member of Team Biden, the president, Secretary Blinken, Wendy Sherman, who's dealing with these sons of, you know, in Vienna. I do not know how Jake Sullivan, any of them pretend it is other than a ruthless pirate regime run by thugs and criminals. They are running this in the United States. This is the second time they were sending. Remember, they were sending terrorists to blow up the Saudi ambassador at Cafe Milano in Washington, D.C. Didn't stop Team Obama from flexing its enormous foreign policy genius to deal with the JCPOA. And now they're removing sanctions on the same day, same week that they are revealing an indictment. Did they not know? Have they tried to keep it secret long enough to get this going? They've elected a butcher as their president. So please, Joe Biden, knock that off. Number two, please go to Miami. It is horrible what is happening in Cuba yesterday. Overnight, the videos began to emerge. Thank you to Senator Rubio, to other brave people in Cuba who are pushing out the details. Yesterday, I saw a clip of a young Cuban dissident on air with a Spanish television station. She looked like AOC, right? She AOC's age. And the thugs came to her house, and they didn't drag her away. They just took her away. And her friends, the Spanish television person should have shut down the phone immediately. Instead, she encouraged her friends to film it, not thinking, well, you know, the Cuban secret police are going to look this up and come back for the friends. She vanished into a little white Lada. I think it was a Lada. The last Ladas in the world are operating on that godforsaken island at this point, and drove her away. Later in the night, they just began breaking down doors, and people were on YouTube when they got taken away by the secret police. Where is Joe Biden? He ought to be in Miami. Thank God for people like Lindsey Graham, Ted Cruz, and Ron DeSantis, all of whom spoke up yesterday. Here's Senator Graham talking about Cuba.
Well, all I can say is America's with the people in Cuba. The squad is not America. Bernie Sanders is a democratic socialist. I like him personally, but Castro has their tongue. They actually admire the Castro model in Cuba. The problem is that the squad can't speak up against communism and socialism because that's sort of where they want to take our country. This is yet another reason why we'll do well in 2022. Joe Biden is AWOL. Freedom needs you now, President Biden. The people of Cuba need you to speak up. You should go on television very soon and say, we stand with your right to demand freedom in Cuba, in our backyard. We're with you. We stand against the regime that's putting people in jail and snatching them off the streets. This is a moment for Joe Biden to stand up for freedom in the face of oppression and communism.
What can America do? A, number one, pay attention to it. Go on Twitter, retweet everything that has got to do with Cuba. When these videos get out, it shouldn't just be Marco Rubio. I came up after doing hours of discussion with ADF lawyers and various legal authorities who were gathered together to talk about religious liberty, and did a check on my Twitter time feed, and it had taken 35 tweets till I found one on Cuba. And I love baseball too. I'm glad the Major League Baseball team was on last. I'm not buying anything from Blue Baseball this year, and they're changing all the rules back and all that good stuff. And I follow the Texas fiasco and the ludicrousy of the Democrats, and I read the astonishing bill. But I'm looking for stuff on Cuba, and friends, it's not an ordinary day. It's like not tweeting exclusively about the fall of the wall in 1989. They are getting murdered in Cuba, and they're trying to be free, and it's in our backyard, and there are millions of Cuban Americans who need attention, such as Ted Cruz paid yesterday. Let's play Senator Cruz.
Thing that Bernie says he supports the right of people to protest. You know who doesn't support that right? The Cuban communist dictatorship that Bernie also supports. Right now, the Cuban thugs are out there arresting protesters. They're throwing them in jail. They're clubbing them. They're beating them. And this is not new. For decades, the communist dictatorship in Cuba has committed murder, has committed torture, has committed incredible atrocities. And Dana, as you know, for me, this is not just a theoretical matter. My father was imprisoned and tortured by Batista, Castro's predecessor. My aunt, my tia Sonia, was imprisoned and tortured by Castro. So my family, like so many millions of other Cuban families, have seen the brutal oppression of communism firsthand. And I got to say, watching these images, watching Cuban people in the streets risking their lives, when you stand up and protest, it's one thing to wave a flag here in the U.S. where you're not risking your life. There, they are literally risking imprisonment and death. And the American people stand with the people of Cuba. And I got to say, the Biden administration has been terrible on this. You know, they put out a statement saying this shows their right to peaceful assembly. No, it shows a communist dictatorship trying to silence their speech. Mm-hmm. And the Biden administration claims these protests are about COVID. They just want some more COVID shots. No, these protests, they are yelling libertad. They are yelling freedom in the streets. They're yelling down with the dictatorship, and they're waving American flags. What a beautiful symbol of freedom the American flag is across the globe, and yet Joe Biden and Kamala Harris can't seem to figure out why that freedom is important and why those people are standing up and risking their lives.
Well,
not just the president, not just Tony Blinken, but most of the networks. Fox News is giving it time. I salute Fox News for doing so. This radio show has been doing so. Other radio shows have been doing so. But you, an American with Facebook and Twitter accounts, you can do it. Here's Governor DeSantis. So I'm playing you. We will post this over at the Hugh Hewitt Show podcast, the highly concentrated Hugh, this segment. And I'd like you to share it everywhere so that people will at least get the three best clips of the day. Here's Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida speaking to the issue yesterday, surrounded by Cuban Americans in Miami.
If we're understanding the stakes, understanding why people are revolting, and we're siding with the Cuban people, you could probably get a lot of the policies right at that point. If you go into it thinking that they're upset about a vaccine shortage or they're upset that there's not enough groceries in the store, but they just want the regime to change a few things around and kind of rearrange the deck chairs on the Titanic, if that's what you think, then you clearly have no hope of getting a favorable outcome here.
You see, the governor, DeSantis, gets it, and Rick Scott will be on tomorrow, gets it, and Marco Rubio was on yesterday, gets it, and Ted Cruz gets it, and Lindsey Graham gets it, and I'll talk to Tom Cotton today, and he will get it, and I will paste together this and the next segment where I talk about this, and then we will post that at the Hugh Hewitt podcast, highly concentrated Hugh, and I ask you to share it everywhere so people understand. Some folks are paying attention. There is no excuse. I am amazed and disappointed, indeed disgusted, at the American media. It's 90 miles away, and a police state is killing people. Some of the videos Rubio put out yesterday, shooting people in the street, dragging them out of their homes, doing whatever they can, and the only thing to protect them is American media. That's the only thing they've got in Cuba right now, is American media encouraging them. And I've never met a dissident, and I've met lots of dissidents, and I've read dissident literature for as long as I've been on the air, 31 years. I've never met a dissident who did not say that American media coverage made all the difference. And American political support, from Soviet Jews to Soviet dissidents like Vladimir Bukovsky has been on the show, to Solzhenitsyn, gave my graduation address to Cubans like Armando Valladares, to everybody who's ever been a dissident in any police state, Iranian, American activists. They always say it's the American media that gave us hope. It's the American political figures who did not forget us. And right now you're all a media outlet. Every single person listening to the show who has a Twitter account or a Facebook account or an Instagram account or is on Telegram or has an email list, you are all capable of participating in putting the message out. And I suggest you do so relentlessly. You can't be tweeting or posting around the clock. But when you do, don't tell me about your baseball club, much as you love them. Don't tell me about the Home Run Derby. Tell me about Cuba and push out the news about Cuba. Hashtag Cuba. Hashtag Cuba SOS. Hashtag Cuba Libre. Come right back. More on the Hugh Hewitt Show. Welcome back, America. Hugh Hewitt. Highly concentrated Hugh podcast today. Focused on Cuba, and I'll be talking with Senator Tom Cotton next. Marco Rubio, 5 hours ago, tweeted out, the regime has shut off internet power and water in Cuba. They are barging into homes and killing in the streets. On Monday, I asked the president to immediately mobilize an international response. Senator Rubio continues, if he doesn't, we will see a bloodbath miles off of our shore. There are videos to support that, including one young man, shirtless, wearing a red hat, who is talking to the internet in Spanish. I can't understand it, but I do understand that in the 21-second video, he's in it going about, you know, I probably shouldn't play this. I don't know what the FCC would think about it. I don't know what he's saying, but he's being emphatic. He's talking at 10 seconds, 11 seconds, at 12 seconds, he's still talking. 14 seconds, in come the mass thugs, the police. They're obviously the police. Video feed gets off. He's being dragged out. Just a little bit of him being dragged out. That's Cuba right now. Guillermo Farnas, a veteran Cuban dissident known for long stints in prison and frequent hunger strikes, reports the New York Times, said he couldn't believe his eyes at the police station he was briefly held in following mass protests on Sunday. It was filling up with unfamiliar faces, many of them teenagers. He didn't recognize any of them from traditional opposition circles, he said. I told state security guard who arrested me, you're going to have to change, Mr. Farinas, 59, said. This is the people, and not just the people, but the youth. Look at them. They've decided they are not just going to continue leaving the country. They want change here. In the aftermath of a remarkable wave of demonstrations across Cuba over the weekend, the government detained dozens of people in a crackdown that activists described as the largest in years, perhaps even decades. The Times report continues, one longtime human rights activist said that the nationwide sweep of arrests was comparable only to the crackdown that preceded the 1961 invasion of the Bay of Pigs. Amnesty International said on Tuesday that it has compiled a list of 150 people detained in the wake of Sunday's demonstrations. Another group, the Movimiento San Isidro, a Cuban dissident group led by artists and academics, tallied 171 reports of people who were detained or vanished in the wake of the protests. The massive peaceful protests were historic, said Erica Guevara Rosas, the American director at Amnesty International. While the forms of repression watching a substantial and dangerous mobilization of police and military security forces, human rights groups said it may take several days to get a clear picture of the scale of the government response because spotty phone and internet connections have made it difficult to track how many people were taken into custody. Again, reading from the New York Times. But Cubans reported seeing a strong presence of security forces on the streets on Monday and Tuesday. Many families were desperately trying to track down loved ones who were detained or vanished during the demonstration. The Cuban government said that one person was killed during a disturbance in Havana on Monday. They always lie about the toll. Still, veteran dissidents said the repression was to be expected following what many called the biggest day of protest in the country since the Cuban Revolution. That's 60 years ago. Forcing Cuba's leaders to acknowledge the severe economic crisis that had sent thousands into the streets. Many described it as a potential turning point in a country where the Communist Party has managed to stifle even small challenges to its authority for decades. The spark has been lit, ladies and gentlemen. There's no turning back, the independent journalist Yoani Sanchez said in a brief podcast she recorded Tuesday. People felt what it's like to scream freedom in the streets of Cuba. The Cuban government often detains dissidents for a day or two. Just sometimes they just kill them. After security forces break up demonstrations, it was unclear whether Sunday's detentions would lead to a new generation of long-term political prisoners. Daniel Triana, Cuban actor who was held at a Havana detention center for about 24 hours, described a flood of protesters being led into a cell where he was kept. A lot of people throughout the country are still detained. I would say hundreds, he said in a phone interview. In my wing, there were dozens of people, and they were bringing in people when I got there, and they were bringing in people when I left. Camila Ramon, a member of the Momento San Isidro, said that the recent protests were enabled by a widespread internet connectivity on the island, a relatively new phenomenon. Been a very effective means to speak out, she said. Internet service was shut down across the island on Sunday. Many activists reported trouble connecting this week. In Florida, local political leaders on Tuesday discussed ways to empower opposition groups in Cuba. Governor DeSantis expressed interest in having local companies explore the possibility of vastly expanding access to internet on the island. Senior Cuban officials appear shaken by the magnitude of Sunday's protests. President Miguel Diaz-Canel Bermudez called on government supporters to take back the streets and invoked the people. The following day, the ideological department of the communists is saying, please, our side, take to the streets. We need President Biden and Secretary Blinken and Jake Sullivan out there. I can't read the whole New York Times story, but tweet it, send it out, and please stay. Do what you can. Do what you can. Talk to people and ask the networks, please cover this. It's disgusting that it's not 24-7. It's 90 miles from the United States. I'm Hugh Hewitt. I want to remind you that our sponsor is AndrewandTodd.com. There with Sierra Pacific, they lend you money to refinance your house or buy a home or help your son or daughter become investors in real estate by becoming a non-occupying co-borrower. They help senior citizens with reverse mortgage. They help veterans with no money down mortgages. They help you refinance. So if you need to get money out of your house or you need a whole new house, go to AndrewandTodd.com or call them at 888-1172. Bonjour, hi, Canada. I'm Hugh Hewitt. I'm in Florida, and the local news is full of news of the repression in Cuba. I'm joined by Senator Tom Cotton to discuss that. Good morning, Senator.
Hey, good morning, Hugh. Good to be on with you.
Why is President Biden and all of Team Biden MIA instead of in Miami?
I don't know, Hugh, that's a really good question. The Cuban people started rising up over the weekend to protest six decades of communist tyranny. And Joe Biden made a few brief comments early this week, and then it's basically been crickets from the administration since then. What we should be doing is highlighting the issue. As you say, Joe Biden, Anthony Blinken, and others should be in Miami expressing their solidarity with the Cuban people, calling for immediate emergency meetings of the Organization for American States, the United Nations, to increase the pressure on the Castro-like regime in Havana. But again, the Democrats seem more focused on trying to avoid any attention on what's happening in Cuba than trying to highlight it and to affect events there.
In effect, media is complicit in this. It's as though in 1989, cable news wouldn't have covered the fall of the Berlin Wall. There's an attempt by people to free themselves of six decades of brutal repression, and they're getting 2 minutes on the hour.
Yeah, and Hugh, it's not like this is some distant, remote country that most Americans couldn't pick off a map. I mean, Cuba is 90 miles from the shores of the United States. There's a large Cuban expatriate community, great patriotic Americans who have watched their family members and their friends suffered under decades of communist tyranny for those who couldn't escape the island after Castro took power. This is something in which millions of Americans are following closely. You can see videos on social media of the kind of barbaric crackdown we've seen since the weekend. It's not exactly a secret. It's not something that's hard to report on, for which there is no, facts or evidence to raise. This is just an example, I would suggest, of the blue media putting on its blue partisan jersey. And if Joe Biden doesn't want to talk or highlight the dangers in Cuba to the Cuban people, then the media is not going to talk about it either.
Now, I have a theory, Senator Cotton, which is a lot of Team Biden was on the bench or in the front ranks of Team Obama. In fact, only Ben Rhodes is not on the active list. And he was on Twitter yesterday begging people to understand Cuba and how he was right and President Obama was right. On the heels of that, we get a story that the Iranian rogue regime of terrorists and thugs is trying to kidnap an Iranian-American journalist out of New York and spirit her away. And we haven't left the talks in Vienna. And it's all because they're all complicit with the appeasement of President Obama. And they're, I think it's because they're embarrassed.
You raise a good point that so many of the people in the high levels of the Biden foreign policy team were also on the Obama foreign policy team. And those two cases, Cuba and Iran, are two of the signal catastrophes of the Obama era. Look what engaging with Cuba and opening up to foreign currency and travel and Barack Obama sitting at a baseball game got us. One of the most brutal crackdowns yet in 60 years of Castro-like tyranny. Or in Iran, Joe Biden and his negotiators have been trying to surrender to Iran in the negotiations in Vienna now for 6 months. And what's that got us? Continued and heightened attacks on Americans across the Middle East, higher levels of support for terrorist groups like Hamas shooting missiles into Israel, and now trying to kidnap and presumably ultimately assassinate Americans on our own soil. I mean, the Biden administration needs to call off the Iran negotiations, and it needs to get into the game on trying to support the Cuban people.
Now, Senator, we rightly condemned the kidnapping of an American journalist, not an American citizen, but Saudi Khashoggi was Saudi citizen who worked in America when he was kidnapped and murdered in Turkey. We rightly condemned that and paid attention to it. I hope this story stays alive, but I don't want to hear any Democrat talk about human rights if they are not on the front lines of this in Cuba. These people are being arrested. One was shot. Mark, your colleague Marco Rubio is doing a great job posting stuff. I know other colleagues of yours, you have been standing with the Cuban people. I never want to hear another Democrat talk about this. This is the worst communist repression closest to our shores. And we're going to have, by the way, a Cuban Missile Crisis 2.0 because China is aware that Cuba is desperate and Belt and Road is going to run through Havana in about 5 minutes and maybe warships as well.
Yeah, Hugh, the Democrats are very selective, you might say, in their concerns about human rights. I suspect some of them are still sympathetic to the old-style communist beliefs of the Castroite regime in Havana. Some of them are deeply invested in trying to salvage the fiasco of Barack Obama's Cuba policy. And some of them probably just for partisan reasons, Hugh. Look at Cuban Americans and think, well, they vote like Republicans, and why should we be concerned about them? But what I want to see, and I think what most Arkansans and most Americans want to see, is the United States government standing firmly with the people of Cuba, taking actions to highlight the issue and taking real concrete actions to affect events there as well, like slapping global Magnitsky sanctions on those responsible for the crackdown or trying to help restore cell services to Cuba so they can continue to communicate with each other and spread video of what's happening in Cuba to the free world.
Do you think our intel agencies, I don't want you to give away anything from the Senate Intelligence Committee, do you think they have access to video that we don't see, and shouldn't they be releasing that? We used to do Radio Marti. We used to do all of this stuff. We don't do it anymore. Shouldn't we be? I've never met a dissident who didn't credit America with giving them courage and inspiration during their long and lonely years, whether it's Sarkarov, any of these people, they always thanked America. And we're not doing anything.
Well, Hugh, I don't want to get into what our intelligence agency might or might not be able to produce in terms of video, but I'll just say this. We don't need covert video. There's plenty of video out there on social media. I don't think anyone disputes the veracity of it. You can see Cuban goons and thugs beating the Cuban people, rounding up children, trying to force them to join in this violence. And yes, we absolutely should make clear our support for the Cuban people. That's one reason why Joe Biden and Tony Blinken and others should be in South Florida today highlighting it or demanding that the UN or the Organization for American States have emergency meetings. These are ways that we can highlight the issue and prevent the world from turning a blind eye to the repression in Cuba.
Now, they actually don't believe it'll work. They didn't believe Germany could fall. They didn't believe the Soviet Union could fall. You're too young. Most of the people who I know in D.C. are too young to remember 89. They never believed it for a second that it would work. Reagan believed it. And you got to, this regime could crack tomorrow with pressure. And after it, I think Venezuela would go. I think Nicaragua would go. I think our immigration crisis would ease. Do you agree with all that?
Yeah, Hugh, these communist regimes and other tyrannies are very brittle underneath. And what seems impossible often turns inevitable very quickly. But, you know, the Soviet Union didn't just collapse spontaneously. It did so because of years of consistent pressure that culminated under Ronald Reagan and George Bush.
Do you believe that the Biden administration will at least maintain the sanctions that President Trump put into place?
Well, they have so far, but I'm not sure they will. In the end, they're still undertaking their so-called Cuba review. You know, it's disheartening to me that it's taken this long and that they haven't sprung into action, given the direction that events have taken.
Last question, Senator. A Magnitsky sanction. Can you explain that for the Steelers fans? What is that?
Yeah, it started with sanctions against Russian officials for their torturing of Magnitsky, who was a human rights activist in Russia, but now it's been expanded globally to target anyone who engages in that kind of repression.
We ought to be using that, and I appreciate your time. Senator Tom Cotton, always a pleasure. Good luck in continuing to focus attention on the freedom fighters in Cuba. Brought to you by ReliefFactor.com. $19.95 gets you started on ReliefFactor.com. I talk about it three times in my daily show. At the bottom of the first hour when I take it, and then in hours two and three when I remind you to take it, depending on when your commute begins, because ReliefFactor.com works. It's the only supplement I've taken in 30 years of broadcasting. I've declined every other opportunity to take a supplement, and I'll tell you why. Because ReliefFactor.com actually works. I carry in Curcumin and Resveratrol Omega. Temporary relief for the relief of minor aches and pains. Temporary support for the relief of minor aches and pains. And you can't do better than that 3-week starter pack, $19.95.